because we choose to be here on a Saturday afternoon. And we could be doing something else, but we know we want to be here because we desire him more than anything else. Amen? Why don't we go ahead? Let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this time. I just pray right now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, as we know your holy presence abounds in this very place. Father, we come unafraid. We come with hearts ready just to receive the fullness of your glory presence. And I pray, Father, will you let it overflow, Father, as we decrease right now. Increase, Father, more. More of your love, more of your peace, more of your joy, because we're so desperate for you. We need you, Lord. And I ask you, as all my brothers and sisters here are just desiring you, Father, I know you are delighted and you are pleased. So, Father, we give this time all into your hands because we want to honor you. We honor the presence of our Lord God and King. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray all of these things. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, guess what? We're starting a new sermon series. Yes, and it's called The Ultimate Guarantees of God. And, you know, I got to tell you, some time ago, I had a discussion with my friend who is an unbeliever, and we were talking about my faith in Jesus Christ. And, you know, he basically believes that God isn't for everyone. That's what he says. You know, he said, for some people, faith in God could be beneficial, but for others, they don't need God at all. I mean, that's what he believes. And he believes it depends on the person, on how God relates to him or her. But as Christians, we know what the scripture says. The scriptures show to us that God has intended his word for who? For the whole world, right? For all of mankind. And that there are ultimate guarantees for all those who choose to believe in him. It's really up to you. It's really up to me. Do we choose to live a life that is true to God? You know, after all, in John 3:16, it says, for God so what? Love the world. Did he say only love the believers or just the Christians? No, he said love the whole world, everyone. He created everyone. He loves the whole world, that he gave his one and only son for who? For the world, right? That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Eternal life. This is the very promise of God. You believe in him. You choose him. You're going to live forever with him. And we got to understand that these guarantees are not only for a select few people, but it's for everyone who chooses to believe in his son. And who is his son, by the way? Jesus Christ. And so in this sermon series, we're going to look at some of the guarantees of God as how it would relate to us. And so the very first one is true happiness. And, you know, and I call it true happiness because, you know, it's the very fact we're looking at what the scriptures would define as happiness. And in the dictionary, right, it's defined as a state of well-being, having contentment or joy. And, you know, the world's definition of happiness could be very, very different from ours. And that's why we're going to look in the scriptures and dig deep and let the Holy Spirit speak to us as we look into his word. Well, look at that question there. It says, how can we be guaranteed true happiness from God in our lives? Well, look at number one. It says, God guarantees us true happiness when we choose to follow him wholeheartedly. Do you follow Jesus Christ with your whole heart? Because you can say, yeah, I follow him, but do you put other things before him? You say you follow him, but do you follow him with the fullness of your heart? You know, in our society, it seems everyone wants to be in control. They want to become the captain of their own ship, so to speak, right? They want to call all the shots, and they want everyone else to follow their commands. Who is like that? Well, you don't have to raise your hand. But, you know, even within our churches, we think it is of the greatest importance that we should hold some sort of leadership position in the church that we attend. And, you know, we think it would make us happy if we could be in a position that stands above everyone else, you know, where everyone could look up to us and, you know, say, yeah, look at that guy. He's a leader of the church. You know, nothing wrong with that, but that is not of the greatest importance. Because we could even say, you know, what about Jesus? Wasn't he in a position of leadership that demanded people's respect? Well, what do you think? Well, let's look at the scriptures. Let's look at Luke 9, 22 to 24. Won't you read that with me? Ready? Go. The Son of Man must suffer many terrible things, he said. He will be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He will be killed, but on the third day he will be raised from the dead. Then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And you got to give up your life. It's not about you being on top. It's not about you being number one. It's about you saying, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to serve you with my whole life. That's the kind of attitude you must show to God. And following Jesus wholeheartedly, I'm going to tell you, will ensure your happiness in life. Who wants to be happy in this life? We all do, right? But you got to make sure you're following Jesus with your whole heart. Look what it says here in John 12, 25 to 26. Read that with me. Ready? Go. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Do you want to be wherever Jesus is? Because we can say, yeah, I do. Well, that also means that there are certain places you shouldn't be, because Jesus is going to be with you at all times. So you got to realize, you got to be willing to give up certain things, right? You got to say, you know what? I can't go to that place anymore, because I know God wouldn't want me to be there. And you know what we discover is that the greatest leaders in this church, right, or any church for that matter, you know who they are? They are the best followers of Jesus Christ. You want to be a great leader? You got to be an awesome follower. You got to be willing to follow Christ wherever he goes. You got to be willing to follow Christ in whatever he tells you to do. That will make you the best leader in any church, right, or any place for that matter. But I want you to look what it says there in Psalm 144, 14 to 15. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Let our cattle give birth without trouble and without loss, and may there be no cry of trouble in our streets. Happy are the people who have all of this. Yes, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. You know, it's good, right? You can be happy in this life if there's no trouble, right? Who wants a life that you don't have any problems? We all do, right? But there's more to it than just that. If you know that God is your Lord. And what does that mean? God is your Lord. God is your master. He calls the shots. Not you. Not me. He tells you what to do according to his word, and you follow. And if you do that, I'm going to tell you, your life will change. You're going to experience such peace. I'm going to experience such joy in your life, because, you know, if you want to be happy in this life, God must be your Lord and Master, and we got to be willing to follow him diligently. You know, I got to tell you, there's a story of this young woman who wanted to go to college, but her heart sank when she read the question on the application that asked her, are you a leader? And being both honest and conscientious, right, she wrote, no. And she returned the application just expecting the worst. She just had to be honest, right? She's not really a leader. And so to her surprise, she received a letter back from the college, and this is what they wrote. Dear applicant, a study of the application forms reveals that this year our college will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it is imperative that they have at least one follower. Everyone puts, yeah, I'm a leader, right? Well, who's going to follow them then, right? Everyone's a leader, right? And you got to understand, I'm sure God is looking for that one believer that says, you know, it's not about me being in control. It's not about me, you know, taking the lead at all times. No, it's about the person saying, I will follow you, Lord, because I love you. I trust you. I'll follow you all the days of my life. And I'll go wherever you go, I'll do whatever you ask. Jesus is looking for that one person who has this heart that says, I will follow you because you are my God. You are my Lord. You are my master. I want you to look what it says there in John 12, 25 to 26. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Those who love their life in this world will what? Lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me because my servants must be where I am. And the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Imagine, you want to be honored by God. You know, you know that God wants your heart to be fully devoted to his Son. And if you can show to God, yeah, I'm all yours. I'm going to do whatever you ask to do. I'm going to follow your Son wherever he goes. Wow, he's going to honor you. And you know what that means? More love, more joy, more happiness in your life, because he's the one that will bring it in your life. I want you to look what it says here in Acts 2, 27 to 28. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. For you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life, and you fill me with the joy of your presence. And you know, I got to tell you, you know what the best indicator that a believer is a true follower of Jesus Christ? I'm going to tell you, it's evidenced by how much joy this person has in following the Word of God. Because sometimes, you know, I may counsel people and I say, you know what, this is what the Word of God says. Oh, really, Pastor? I got to do that? Nah, maybe that's a long time ago. Nah, not for today. I said, yes, it is. The Word of God was written so that it be for all ages. Not just only, okay, during Old Testament times. And no. God written it for all ages. Doesn't matter what time period you are in. You follow the Word of God, you're going to experience God's presence like you've never experienced before. It's up to you. Are you going to have this kind of obedience in following God and not question him, not say, oh, but Lord, I don't know. No, we got to say, Lord, I know that's you. I know your word is telling me to do this. I'm going to do it, right? And that's the kind of attitude we all should have. Did you know Arabian horses, they go through extremely rigorous training in the deserts of the Middle East. And you know what they do? The trainers, right, they require absolute obedience from the horses. And they test them to see if they are completely trained. And so you know what the final test is? Yeah, I got to tell you, the final test is almost beyond the endurance of any living thing. The trainers, they force the horses to go without water for many a days, maybe like 3 days or 4 days or something like that. Then the trainer turns them loose, and of course, right, the horses will start running towards the water. But as they just get to the edge, right, of the trough or whatever it is, right, they're ready to plunge in and drink. The trainer blows his whistle, and the horses who have been completely trained and have learned perfect obedience, you know what they do? They stop immediately. Even though they're thirsty, they want that water so badly. No, they stop right in their tracks. And they turn around. You know what they do? They come prancing back to the trainer. And they stand there quivering. Can you imagine? No water for 3 or 4 days. And they're quivering. They're wanting the water, but they wait in what? Perfect obedience. And when the trainer is sure that he has their obedience, he gives them a signal. Okay, go get your drink. Then the horse will go. And it sounds pretty severe, right? But when you are on the trackless desert of Arabia and your life is entrusted to a horse, you better have a trained, obedient horse. And we got to realize we must accept God's training and obey him. Because sometimes the Word of God is going to tell you stuff, going to tell you to do things you don't want to do. And sometimes I do that too. I'm going, oh, really? That's what the Word of God says? And sometimes people said, Pastor Ben, I cannot do that. I can't forgive that person, whatever it may be. But you realize God demands perfect obedience from us. Amen? Because he's looking out for you. He wants nothing but the best for your life. But if you're not willing to take a hold of it because you're not willing to listen to him, guess what? You're going to have problems. You're going to have troubles in your life. And I want you to look what Deuteronomy chapter 11, look what it says here. Okay, actually, I'm going to start with verse 13. I'm going to read to 17, and then you're going to come in at verse 18. So just listen for now, okay? This is what it says in Deuteronomy 11. It says, if you carefully obey the commands I am giving you today, and if you love the Lord your God and serve him with all of your heart and soul, then he will send the rains in their proper seasons, and the early and the late rains, so that you can bring in your harvest of grain, new wine, and olive oil. He will give you lush pasture land for your livestock, and you yourselves will have all that you want to eat. But be careful. Don't let your heart be deceived so that you turn away from the Lord and serve and worship other gods. If you do, the Lord's anger will burn against you. He will shut up the sky and hold back the rain, and the ground will fail to produce its harvest. Then you will quickly die in the good land that the Lord is giving you. Okay, I want you to read with me now, verse 18. Ready? Go. So commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these words of mine. Tie them to your hands and wear them around on your forehead as reminders. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, so that as long as the sky remains above the earth, you and your children may flourish in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors. And what you realize, it's really up to who? Really up to us, right? How much happiness do you want in this world? Because you can say, yeah, I got some happiness. You just want a little bit? Yeah, because you know what? God can bring a lot, abundance of happiness in your life if you choose to do things his way. It's a decision you make. And because if you're just satisfied with the happiness you have now, okay, you don't really have to obey him that much. That's good enough for you. Okay, that's fine. But don't be saying, oh, come that guy, he gets so much abundance of God's blessings. I only get this much, and he get like that much. You cannot complain. All it comes down to is how much you're willing to obey the word of God. Amen? And I can guarantee you, this is a guarantee, because this sermon is about guarantee. Guaranteed, you're going to experience an abundance of God's blessings if you do things according to his word. Amen? I want you to look at point number two now. It says, God guarantees us true happiness when we can find strength through his word in our most difficult times. Okay. Wait a minute. You mean to say that you can be happy through difficult situations, through hard times? Is that possible? Yeah, for the Christian, it should be, okay? Because we know. We have a God that always is in control. Amen? The world doesn't know God. They just kind of see things for what they are. They don't realize that, you know, like for us, we have a God that will help us. You know, in the book of Nehemiah, right, we find that the Israelites have returned to their homeland after remaining in Babylon's captivity for more than 70 years. Can you imagine? 70 years, they're held captive. They're prisoners to the Babylonians. And many of them have learned the customs and the ways of living of the Babylonians, and some of them have even accepted their idols as their gods of worship. Because 70 years is a long time, okay? And so they're learning things that they know. You know, it's not pleasing to God, but guess what? They're doing it. And so when Nehemiah and Ezra and the other leaders gathered them together to help them remember that, you know what? You guys got to remember, you only got one and only true God. Have you forgotten? You know, because they think, okay, well, it's been 70 years. And you know what? They started to read the scriptures to them. And I want you to see what happens here. Okay, Nehemiah 8:8-10. I'm just going to read it. You can just follow along, all right? It says, they read from the book of the law of God and clearly explained the meaning of what was being read, helping the people understand each passage. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting for the people said to them, Don't mourn or weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God. For the people had all been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. And Nehemiah continued, "Hey, guys, go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day of before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your what? Joy of the Lord is your strength." And the Levites, too, quieted the people, telling them, "Hush, don't weep, for this is a sacred day." So the people went away to eat and drink at a festive meal, to share their gifts of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they had heard God's word and understood them. I got to tell you, you know, sometimes in our lives, we allow our problems and difficulties consume us to the point that we feel like we can no longer smile or laugh or enjoy the very things that God has blessed us with. You know, we go around with our heads hung low, with a huge frown on our faces, and we mope around, right? Kind of like, almost like we have doom and gloom as our companions. You met someone like that? It's just like, you just see, like, they're almost like there's a spirit of death upon them, right? And so, you know, Nehemiah and the other leaders, you know, probably saw that their countrymen, yeah, they saw them, that they had a deep sorrow in their hearts when they heard the word of God being read. Why? Why were they crying? Why were they weeping? You know, because, you know, they probably realized what they had become during the 70 years of captivity in Babylon, because they probably knew they have strayed far away from God. But why were they weeping? Why were they crying? Because of the very fact their hearts had been convicted. And the leaders knew they were ready to return back to God. And because of this, you know, God's joy will become their strength. They don't have to be sad, because guess what? God's presence is now upon them. And we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is fullness of joy. Amen. Don't let your failures of life convince you that you no longer can be happy. Come on, we talked about this last week too. What done is done. You can't turn back time, right? You cannot say, "Okay, I wish I did this," or, "Oh man, I woulda, coulda, shoulda, you know, done something different if I only knew better." But you know what? What done is done. Now you got to move forward with God. Amen. And you just say, "Lord, I need your help. Because, Lord, I'm bummed out." You know, sometimes we stay bummed out because of the past mistakes, past failures that we had done. But we can't let the failures in our lives convince us that we can no longer be happy. Because a lot of people do that. They tell me, "Pastor Ben, my past is so terrible, though. I don't think I can ever get to the point where I can smile again, where I can laugh with others or enjoy life anymore." Who says? I'm sure the devil had a lot to do with that, right? Because it's a lie. Say, "No, you don't deserve to be happy anymore." I heard people tell me that. I said, "Pastor Ben, I really don't deserve to be happy because I was a terrible person in my past." Well, you know what? You're a new creation in Christ now. It don't matter what you did in the past. It's who you are now today in Christ. Amen? And God, he will help you. He will help you become that person that he wants you to be. You're going to become more like his son, Jesus Christ, as you live a life that's devoted to him. I want you to look what it says there in James 1, verses 2 to 4. Read that with me. Ready? Go. "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it" what? Opportunity for what? Great joy, right? "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is," what does it say there? "Fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." Okay, well, it tells us you're going to have troubles of many kinds, okay? But when they come, what? Consider it an opportunity for joy. Why would you consider an opportunity for joy? Because you know why? The world is watching you. They're going to see if you're going to respond any different from how they would respond. Because they're going to say, "Wait, you got God. How come you kind of weeping and you're out of control? How come you're just like full of worry, anxiety, just like me?" you know what? Consider an opportunity to show what the joy of the Lord is all about. Amen? Remember, the joy of the Lord is our what? Our strength. You got to show to the world that I got the strength of God, that I have joy because I'm not going to allow my anxieties to consume me. And we got to show them that, you know, that truly we're going to hang on to Jesus. And, you know, our endurance, it tells us, it's fully developed when we can find God's joy consistently in the worst of the worst situations in our life. Because that's what it's going to come down to. Consistently, that's the word. That every time something bad happens, something that may cause you grief or sorrow or get you upset or whatever, you're going to hold on to the joy of the Lord. Not to say you're going to, you know, laugh and, you know, have a big smile on your face. You're not necessarily, you have to do that. But you're not going to get bent out of shape. Amen? And you're going to turn to Jesus. You got to turn to God and ask him for help. You know, the worst thing we can do is quit. And you know, for a Christian, that should not even be in our vocabulary. Yeah, we should rip it out of our dictionaries. or get your Sharpie pen and just cross out quit. Because that should be non-existent in your vocabulary. Because you got Jesus, you got God. Man, doesn't matter what situation you're in, God, he will pull you out. He will help you out if you just trust in him. Because the devil, yeah, he wants you to quit, right? Especially when you're feeling a little worn out and you're unhappy with how your life is going. You know, the devil, he said, oh, quit already. Just quit. Call it quits. You know, just don't deal with it anymore. Call it quits. The devil is really good at that. You know, I got to tell you, one of the biggest boxing matches of the 20th century took place on November 25th, 1980 at the Superdome in New Orleans, Louisiana. And I'm sure a lot of you remember that. It was a rematch between Sugar Ray Leonard and who? Roberto Duran. You guys remember that? Okay, all you guys are old enough to remember, right? And, you know, what happened was Duran had won the previous fight and was the favorite the second time around. And you know, he had a record of 72 wins, okay, and just one loss. And he had just won his last 41 fights. Man, that is some winning streak. I mean, imagine, right? 72 wins. And the rematch was a very, very close fight. And only a point or two separated the two fighters on the judges' scorecards. But then something unthinkable happened in the eighth round that nobody expected. Who remember what happened? Nobody? Okay, well, let me remind you. Roberto Duran, he turned to the referee and he spoke two words. You know what he says? No mas. What does that mean? No more. I quit, right? You got to understand, he wasn't injured. He wasn't cut. What was he? He was just frustrated, and he had enough. No mas. And the referee had to stop the fight. You got to think about this. Here is a fighter who was one of the best to ever step into the ring. He won a total of 103 fights. But when anyone mentions his name today, the first thing that comes to mind is what? No mas. No more. I quit. And people remember the day that he quit. Well, just think about that. And I'm sure we all had times, right, when we felt like quitting. Quitting your job. Quitting the class that you teach. Quitting on your marriage. You know, some people even give up on God. They say, I quit God because God's not doing anything for me. I hear people say that. And unfortunately, every year, thousands of people in our country give up on life itself. And almost a million Americans, you know what? They attempt suicide every year. Can you imagine? Almost a million Americans, they want to take their lives. However, you know, they want to do it. And but you got to understand, you know, some of the greatest heroes of the Bible thought about giving up. You know, like Elijah, for example, the prophet Elijah. You know what he said in 1 Kings? He says, Lord, go ahead and take my life. I am finished. Can you just almost feel the frustration, you know, that he had as he said that? Or Job, you know what he said? He said, curse the day that I was born. And Jeremiah, who was known as the weeping prophet, he said, "Oh, that my eyes were a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night." Oh, you can just feel it, right? You can almost feel the frustration, and just like they didn't want to give up. But you know what? These men of God, they overcame the temptation to quit, and they served God faithfully. So when you're tempted to quit, because come on, all of us, sometimes we just want to throw in the towel and say, "I quit." Remember, you are in good company. You're not alone. Yeah, even the Christians that you think are the strongest ones, no, a lot of times they say, "You know what, I just want to quit." You know, we got to hang in there, keep serving, keep being faithful, keep doing what God wants you to do. Don't be known for the time you decided to quit. Because, yeah, you imagine everyone say, "Oh, yeah, that guy, oh, yeah, he's the one that quit." Would you want to be known as a person who just decided to quit? I'm going to tell you something. Quitters will never experience the fullness of God's joy, because they get to a point where they say, "This is too much. No mas." And they bail out. And it could have been that if they just went over that mark, over that line. Yeah, they had to suffer a little bit more, but they went through it. Right over that side is the fullness of God's joy, the fullness of God's strength, the fullness of God's peace. But we weren't willing to step over that because we said what? No mas, no mas. Let's not be the ones to do that. Amen? You got to find strength in God to keep going strong towards him. Don't let the devil pull you down, because he will. He will do his best. That's his job, to bring us down so that we will not experience God's presence like, oh, we want it so much. You know, the devil doesn't like that. I want you to get point number three now. It says here, God guarantees us true happiness in our lives when we place our hope and our future completely in his hands. And you know, when we can learn to put more of our hope and trust in God, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be less worry and less anxiety in our lives. And you know what happens when that takes place? You're going to have an increase of happiness and joy in your life. I want you to read with me what it says here in Psalm 146, 5 through 6. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. "But joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He made even heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He keeps every promise forever." Wow. Just knowing that God, he is your helper. He is my helper. You know what? You should never, ever lose hope. Because he promises that I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will always be there to help you through it all. He's not going to just pull you out of your problem, because, you know, if he does that, we're not going to grow, you know, as a Christian. We're not going to mature as a Christian. But what he will do, he will help you through it. He will give you wisdom along the way. He will give you strength along the way so that you can keep going forward with him. You know, from Parade Magazine comes a story of a self-made millionaire. I don't know if you heard of him. His name is Eugene Land. And he greatly changed the lives of a sixth grade class in East Harlem. You know, Mr. Land had been asked to speak at a class of 59 sixth graders. And, you know, he was thinking, what could I say to inspire these students, most of whom would probably drop out of school anyway? So he wondered how he could get these predominantly black and Puerto Rican children to even look at him or to even give him any attention, right? So he brought up his notes to the front of the class, and he just said, "You know what? I'm scrapping these notes." And he decided to speak to them from his heart. And he said to them, "Stay in school." He said, "Stay in school, and I'll help pay the college tuition for every one of you." That's what he said. And at that moment, the lives of these students changed, because, you know, he was serious. And he did this. He paid for everyone's college education. And for the first time, right, they had hope. You know, one student said, I had something to look forward to now, something waiting for me. It was a golden feeling. And you know what? Nearly 90% of that class went on to graduate from high school. You know, the percentage was supposed to be like, maybe like a 10% or something like that. 90%. Why? Because now they got hope. They realized, I got something to look forward to because my parents can't afford to pay for my college or whatever. But now I got hope. I got something that will ensure me a brighter future. And you know what? In the same way, God gives us hope for a brighter future. And just like the song my brother wrote and sang, let's read it. Jeremiah 29, 10 through 12. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you what? A hope and a future. Then you will call on me and you will come and pray to me and I will listen to you. And you know, that's the thing, right? When they came back after 70 years, you know, they heard the scriptures and they realized, wow, this is who I am. This is what I'm all about. I only have one true God. And that's why they started to weep. They realized, you know, they have strayed so far away, but they want to come back to God. And I want you to read what the psalmist says in Psalm 27. And just really feel his heart as he says this. Psalm 27, 4 to 5. Read that with me. Ready? Go. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Wow. You know, for the Israelites, God promised them a bright future when they were to come back after 70 years, right, being in the hands of the Babylonians. But you know what? For us, God promises us something even better. What is that? Well, let's read it in John 3:36. Ready? Go. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. And, you know, we simply believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. We accept him into our lives. We live for Jesus. Guess what? You're guaranteed eternal life. I mean, is that something that puts an eternal hope in your mind and in your heart? That's something we look forward to, that we're going to spend eternity with God. And, you know, I'm going to tell you that the devil is going to work so hard trying to cloud our minds, even though we can think about the very fact we're going to be with Jesus forever. You know, the devil is going to remind us of all our past sins. He's also going to remind us of the things we're doing now that may not be so pleasing to God. You child of God, look at you. You're a mess. And I'm going to tell you, happens to the best of us. It even happened to King David. I want you to look at Psalm 42, 5. And you're going to see, as you read this, you're going to realize even King David got really frustrated, even though he was called a man after God's own heart. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And, you know, he had to talk to himself. He says, soul, what's wrong with you? Why are you so down? Don't you realize your hope is in Jesus Christ? Don't you realize your hope is in God? And sometimes we got to talk to ourselves like that. We got to remind ourselves, yeah, I put my hope in God. Devil, get out of here in Jesus' name. And you got to find that strength that will bring you joy. And you got to say, put your hope in God, for I will praise him, my Savior and my God. I want you to take a look at the bottom line verses now. And I got to say, you know, we got to get into the habit of bringing much joy into our lives and into the lives of others. You know, it's so easy. I got to tell you, when things don't go your way, you know, usually you can see the telltale signs, right? Your head starts going down. You maybe get a little fidgety, and you kind of, oh, and you start sighing a lot. And we kind of like get to that point where we just lose all the joy. When we continue on like this, suddenly the joy of the Lord is no longer our strength, because we're relying on our own strength, right? We think, okay, I got to do something now. And when you just rely on your own strength, that's when things start going downhill. Suddenly, there's no more joy. You can't feel happy anymore. You feel like you cannot laugh. You cannot even smile anymore. But that's when you start what? Praising God. And that's what King David did. He says, put your hope in God, for I will praise him, my Savior and my God. Start praising God when you start feeling like that. Look what it says there in Proverbs 17:22. Read that with me. Ready? Go. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones, right? And you know what? It's good medicine, because if you have a cheerful heart, you're going to affect all the people around you. You know, I mean, you know, when you walk into the room, people see that your heart is just full of joy. It'll rub off on them. And it's like, it's good medicine. It's like sometimes we think, oh, you know, it's like the kind of medicine that you don't want to take. You know, like if you're a young child, you know, you say, okay, you got to take this, Johnny, and just yucky that medicine. No, but you know what? This is good medicine, because it will affect your soul, and it will make you a stronger person, because you're going to find joy that comes from the Lord. And it says a crushed spirit will really dry up your bones. And when you allow yourself to get further and further down, because, yeah, you are in control. Don't ever say, I cannot help myself. You know, I can't help myself. I'm just getting more depressed. You got to lift yourself out of that, because I get into those kinds of modes too. And I just like King David, I say, what's wrong with you? So get with the program. You belong to Jesus. Hook on to Jesus now. And sometimes I'm yelling at myself, because I know the devil, he's almost like pulling me down. He's dragging me down. I said, no, devil, you ain't going to do it, because I am property of Jesus Christ. I belong to him. I want to read to you this poem that was written by Mother Teresa. And you know, this poem is engraved on the wall of her home, you know, for the children in Calcutta. Okay, just listen to this. I think I used this in another sermon before, but I didn't know it was written by her. Just listen to this. She says, people are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Hey, be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. When you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. Hey, build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Hey, be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Hey, do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Hey, give the world the best you got anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. Wow, pretty good, huh? Written by Mother Teresa. And we got to understand, the key to true happiness is realizing that when you live a life that is always wanting to please God, it's always like you focus on God. It's not mind looking at other people. You're looking at God. Whatever your situation is, you always fix your eyes on Jesus. You know what? You know what's going to happen? You're going to realize you don't have to work for happiness or for joy. Because you know what? God just brings it. He just brings it in your life, because he sees that you're living a life that is true to him. And guess what, brothers and sisters? There's going to come a day, right, in which there's not going to be anything else but joy and happiness. because in heaven there is no negativity. There is no sorrow. There is no pain. There is no depression. There is no Prozac. Because you're not going to need it. Because you're going to be in constant what? Joy. I want you to read this last scripture here with me. Ready? Revelation 21, 3 to 4. Ready? Go. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For what? The former things have passed away." Can you just imagine, brothers and sisters, in heaven? Oh, that's stuff of the past. We don't do those kinds of things there. We don't cry. You know what I mean? That's former things. When we're with Jesus in heaven, that's a thing of the past. You know, just like, you know, records and, you know, I mean, CDs, right? They're going to become things of the past. It's going to be obsolete. I mean, it's not going to happen in heaven because, you know what? Only joy is allowed in heaven. Happiness is allowed. And that's what we're going to get an abundance of. Amen? I want to conclude by showing you this video. It's called The Formula for Happiness. And I like this video. So, listen, why don't you go ahead and play that for us, please.
Once every day that can't be bought but can be found. And when you find it, you can lose it. But if you share it, you get more of it. The answer? Happiness. And everyone has a formula for finding it. A lot of people say, me plus job plus a house plus a family equals happy. It's the classic American dream. But for a teenager, the formula's more simple. Me plus a car equals happy. Then there's the nature lover formula. Me plus a backpack minus civilization equals happy. The sports fan says, me plus my team plus the number one draft pick equals happy. And for the millionaire, it's me plus money plus even more money equals happy. The problem with these formulas is that other stuff messes with the equation. The millionaire meets a billionaire.
Oh, dear.
The sports fan starts losing.
Oh, come on.
The nature lover runs into a mother bear and her cubs. The teenager's formula gets way more complicated.
Oh, man.
And lately, the American dream hasn't been so dreamy. People have lost jobs and lost homes. Families are crumbling under the strain, and more people than ever are wondering, is there some other formula out there that can make me happy again? There is, but you won't find it out there. You'll find it in here, and it looks like this. J plus O plus Y. First up is J, the guy you need to know, the grace you need to accept, the God you need to put first. Next is O, the people you need to love, the friends you need to serve. And finally comes U, the you that trusts, the you that prays, the you that finally realizes I'm not the center of, the head of, or the butt of the universe. The you that likes cars, jobs, houses, nature, money, and every other good thing, but doesn't need them because you've already found the thing that can't be bought. You already share the thing that can't be kept. And you know the God who wrote the formula for happiness.
Joy. Praise God. And remember what joy means. J is for what? Jesus. What is O? Others. And what is Y? You. What are you going to do to bring more of God's joy in your life? Because it's really up to you. Don't say, oh, but God has got to do it. No. God says, I will bring it in your life, but you got to follow me. You got to follow my ways. Follow my son. Follow my word. And you're going to experience great joy. Amen? Praise God. We're going to, let's bow our heads. Let's bow our hearts. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the message, Lord, today. And I know, Lord, you spoke it through me, Lord. I know you gave me the wisdom. You gave me the words to speak for it so that as my brothers and sisters have heard your word, Father, they're going to choose to live according to what you have called them to do. Father, I just pray, Lord, as you touch their hearts, let them realize that this is the only way to true happiness, to true peace, to true love, to true joy. Father, I just pray, Lord, that they will experience joy in great abundance as their lives are fully submitted to you. And as they resist the devil has no choice but to flee. And what comes in even more is more of your joy and more of your peace. Father, we're so desperate for you because we know we cannot live this life on our own. We need your help. And we know, Father, the only way to experience more of your goodness is we have to ensure that our lives are fully surrendered to you. And right now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, that is me. Because I realize sometimes I feel like there is no joy in my life. It just seems like things just are getting worse and worse and worse. But I'm going to hold on to Jesus. I'm going to trust him. And I know he will always bring a brighter tomorrow. Because that's his promise. That if we give it all into his hands, he's going to take it. And he's going to bring forth his goodness in great measure. And if this is your heart right now, you're saying, that's me, Pastor Ben. I want to make sure that my life is fully surrendered to him because I desire his joy. Just in great abundance. I want more of him. If that's the cry of your heart, can you raise your hand right now and say, that's me, so I can pray for you. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Say, more joy from you, Lord. More joy, Father. More peace, more love. Praise God, praise God. All right, you can put your hands down. Oh, let's pray. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised, but most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands. Saying, Father, forgive me of those times that I didn't fully trust in you, that I was blaming you, that I didn't have joy in my life. But from this day forward, I'm not going to blame you anymore, Father. As I do your word, as I live for you, Father, I know the joy will just come. And you're going to bring it so abundantly in my life. And I can't wait, Father, I can't wait. I can't wait to live a life of full submission to you. Father, we love you. We praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. And everyone says, amen. Amen.